Good morning.
Good morning.
Before we get started, and I read some scripture this morning, I'd just like to touch on a few things. If you're new here, if you haven't been here in a while, as far as giving, we either give on online on the website, cypress street.church/give, something like that. You can find it. Or there's a drop box in the back hung on the wall. Or you can just mail it to us, however you'd like to do it. PayPal, maybe not PayPal, but almost everything but PayPal is simple. So, before we get started, just like to touch on a few things that we're not really comfortable with hearing about, especially the past year. Fear is one of them. This has probably been the easiest attack on America by Satan in the past year, because Americans are comfortable with where they're at, and everything that's happened in the past year, it's kind of unsettling, and it gets in your skin, kind of makes you fearful. And I think this has led on more. I mean, whatever you're fearful about within the past year, finances, COVID, whatever it is, you've been fearful of something. And it's just because we've kind of become, I don't know if spoiled's the right word for it here in America, since we're free to worship, but honestly, America should be the country with, I would think, maybe the strongest faith as Christians, because we have every right and every freedom to serve God with everything that we are, and we still don't do that. And something like that happened this past year, it just rattled us to the core, to where I saw strong Christians, you know, lose their faith in God, and just it was an eye opener for sure, because there's other countries around the world, and all they have is God, and it's never a good thing to compare yourselves to other Christians or other believers, whatever. But in this case, it's a tough deal to say that people in other countries have nothing that we have, but they have God. They have their faith in God, and it's strong, and way stronger than what we have here. I'll just tell you that, and I'm speaking to myself too. And so far within the past year, we've heard nothing to really help us cope with what's going on. It's just been, here are the numbers. Fear the numbers. Stay at your house. But there's not really anything to help us, like, okay, well, you've had it. I'm talking about COVID. What can you do to help prevent it, or help if you have it? And the fact that I've had it and I've gotten over it, and several other people in the church have had it, and they've just knocked it out of the park, it's because it was handled correctly. And through the faith and prayer, it was just knocked out, and it was easy. And I understand it affects people different, but I feel like it needs to be handled with grace and peace, and not really division as it has been. Because that's the icing on the cake. Besides fear, is division among Christians. There's a verse today I'd like to share with you. I know I'm keeping everybody from singing right now, so. It's Philippians 4, 6 through 7. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, I thank you for everyone that's gathered here today, and I just ask you to give them peace and hope in you, Lord. And everyone that couldn't make it today or is planning on coming back eventually, I just ask you to be with them and bless them and heal their bodies as well. Thank you for worship today, and thank you for the freedom to do so. Amen.
Thank you, Reuben. If you're able, why don't we stand together this morning as we sing this beautiful song that Brother Neil taught us, Cornerstone.
Thank you.
Jesus' love and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the same. Righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, we make strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He through this time that we're now going, finding ourselves traveling down, what a more applicable song than what we just sang. We can be strong in His love. Children, you may go to your classes now with Miss Hannah. Thank you.
buckle up. We've got a long one today, so be ready. Before I start with our scripture reading, our prayer request, I'd just like to touch that Scott Lamb and his family is back today. I believe they came in November or so of last year and brought a message. So whenever he comes up, just warm welcome. You don't have to stand up, but just at least clap. And a few of our prayer requests. Today is, we've heard that Julie Oldham is finally either almost done, I think, or she is done with chemo. And she's doing great. She's healthy. So that deserves a praise the Lord in there. And among others, with COVID and everything going around, just pray for them as well. Dear Lord, I just ask you to be with everyone here today, and we thank you for Julie and her fight with this, Lord, and her, she just seems at peace, Lord, throughout this whole thing. I ask that that we have that same peace that she's had through this hard time. I ask you to be with everyone that's been involved with COVID, Lord, this year and recently, and just be with the families of ones that have been lost because of it. Amen. Today, our scripture reading is in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 through 7. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness.
Thank you, Reuben. It's good to be back with y'all today. I was originally scheduled when we were back here in November to come January 10th, which was last Sunday. But as Reuben was mentioning, the COVID bug struck our house. So we had a delayed Christmas. It was over Christmas when all that happened. So we had our Christmas at my wife's parents last weekend, and then we had it over in Oak Grove with my parents this weekend. We just left this morning from there to come over here. So we got to spread Christmas out over several weeks. So there's nothing wrong with that. We actually kind of enjoyed that. But we're grateful to be back today. January 17th. Wow. 17 down, 348 to go. Right. You're following me on that one, right? We have our New Year's resolution sometimes, don't we? I don't know if any of you did that. Anybody, by show of hands, do a New Year's resolution? All right. Maybe you didn't. Okay. Maybe you're like me and you quit a few years ago doing New Year's resolutions. Because why would be a reason why we would quit doing them? Because we don't live up to them, right? We get sick and tired of failing and just not being able to continue in what we'd set out to do. So here we are 17 days into it. And if you made a resolution or had some sort of commitment you were trying to make to do a certain thing or live a certain way or maybe cut out a certain thing out of your life, you can kind of evaluate to see how you are at this point, 17 days into it. Maybe it was just to give up sugar for a while or do less sugar. Or maybe it was to read your Bible more often, or maybe to commit to a Bible reading plan. Or maybe it's commit to come to church every Sunday. This is the third one. Who's 3 for 3? All right, we got some 100% people. All right, so you're doing good. All right, we're 3 for 3. I can't raise my hand on that one. I had to work a couple weeks ago. But we make our resolutions, the things we want to do better in life or live a certain way or do differently. Maybe it's a habit. I would say probably in America, the number one resolution is to stop smoking. And I don't know if you've ever had smoking as part of your life experience, but that's a good thing to try to stop. And a lot of people try to stop it every year, and they'll try to break that habit. And maybe they get in day one, day two, day three, they're doing good. But here we are day 17, we hope they're still doing good. But a lot of times we just kind of fall off, don't we? Fall off when we start trying to make commitments to do something. Our resolve is one thing, but it can only get us so far. If at first you do succeed, you will fail and fail again. Now that sounds negative, doesn't it? that's really negative. The what we normally hear is, if at first you don't succeed, what? Try and try again. And that's the encouraging spin on it. I like that word. That's a good encouraging word. I agree with it. It's but maybe you've made it those first 17 days with success, and you are doing good already. You've had resolve, you've stuck to it, whatever it was you've set out to do. But now here I am saying to you, if at first you do succeed, you will fail. Man, I'm really negative, huh? What kind of friend am I? I'm really a downer here. But my emphasis is on you. You will fail. And as we get into this, you'll see what I'm talking about. And I'll twist it around to make it more encouraging. But you will fail. I will fail. When we start talking here in a minute about our spirituality, our Christian life, our walk with God, our resolve only gets us so far. Our determination only gets us so far. There's more to it than that, right? To be able to live this Christian life. As we start off, sometimes we have early successes, or you might call it a beginner's luck. Anybody play golf? I went with playing golf with some buddies at church a few years ago, and I hadn't played at that point in probably a few years. So out there playing golf, I got up to the tee box, and the first one went right up. It was right down the fairway, a beautiful shot, not too far from the green. I got up there, and I was able to chip it up on the green, and I was just kind of trying to act like this is normal, you know? And so I get up. I think I parred that first hole, and par is good for me. I never get under par. And the second tee box, I got up, and I did good again. And everybody's looking at me like, I thought you didn't play golf. I was like, well, doing all right, I guess. And then it went downhill from there. The third tee box, it just went off in the trees. And then the fourth one, I was playing. Ever heard anybody refer to golf as army ball? You know what I mean, when you're doing army off? Left, right, left, right, left, right. I would go this way and that way and that way and that way. And I couldn't get it straight. So I had some early successes. And then it just kind of faded out to what it fell off. And my game really did not do well after that. So sometimes we can start off good in something, but keeping it up and doing good is a struggle. And it's hard to continue in that. You might have had that experience in some of your favorite football teams. If the Steelers happen to be your favorite football team, you saw that this year. They started off 11-0 and then lost 5 out of their last 6 games, and they're already out of the playoffs. But that, you might have had experience with that in teams that you like, seeing how they start off good and they just kind of fizzle out. But in our walk with Christ, how is it sometimes that we start out great and then we begin to, the phrase I've used already is fizzle out. I don't know if that's a real word, but why does that happen? You may have a lot of resolve. You might have a lot of determination. Might have that stick-to-it attitude that I like to see in people. It can take you far. It can help you succeed and accomplish just about anything you set your mind to. You might be one of those natural winners, someone who everything you touch just seems to turn to gold. You know people like that? It just seemed like, man, how they didn't even study. How did they make so good on that test? You know, here I am busting my tail trying to do just good on it. But some people just seem like they naturally just win, and they do good in everything that they do. Everything you touch in this world seems to lead to success. But if that's all you've got, there's an area of failure that awaits you as far as spirituality goes, walking the walk of Christ. In our efforts to try to live up to the standards of the Christian life, to live the way that God would have us to live, if we try to do it on our own resolve, on our own determination, our own willpower, we're going to fail. Because this way of life was intended to be a walk with God. A walk with God. And a partnership. not trying to be a lone ranger. Try to do it on your own. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." I think in the NIV it says that God prepared in advance for us to do. So it's good to have goals of doing good things, good works. It even says in the scripture I just read that God prepared in advance some good works for us to do. And we are God's workmanship, it says in verse 10, Ephesians 2. We ourselves are like a work of art, God working in us, God working inside us. We have works to do, ones that God prepared in advance for us to do, but we can't do them on our own. Have you tried pursuing what God has for you to do? If we try to live out that life on our own, our best efforts will fail us. This life of faith is not a solo mission. We can only succeed in tandem with God. Tandem, have you heard that word? Any skydivers in the crowd? No? Has anybody ever wanted, anybody ever wanted to be a skydiver? You ever wanted to jump out of a perfectly good plane? Right? Skydivers, there's a word that's used, it's tandem. And what that means, if I was ever going to do, I used to want to do that. I had kind of a little dream of wanting to jump out of a plane, skydive. It seemed exhilarating to me. But the only way I would do it, I think, is in tandem. And what that means is you're up in the plane, you're getting ready. They're saying you're getting ready to your jump-off point. And instead of you just standing up and getting at the door and jumping off, thinking about, okay, when do I pull the string and all this kind of stuff, whatever it is, you're not doing it solo. There's a professional skydiver there, and he stands up along with you. They strap you to him, and when it comes time to jump, y'all jump out, and you're attached together, right? So now you're flying through the air, but you're not solo. You're attached to someone. You're in tandem with that professional, and you're going through this, and I'm sure it would be quite an exhilarating ride, and maybe a little bumpy along the way, and a little scary and frightening and all that stuff that rolled into one, but you wouldn't be by yourself. You're with the professional there, and trusting that he knows what to do to get you safely to the ground. So in tandem, you're flying through the air, and he's attached to you. And that's the way it is in our walk with God, in our doing the works that he's prepared in advance for us to do. It's meant to be done in tandem with him, together with him, not alone. We can only succeed in tandem with God. You might start off well if you try it on your own. You might start off well, but setbacks are going to come. Hard times will come. Man, we've seen that, haven't we? We've seen that to be true. Last year proved, if nothing else, that you can't make plans, really. you don't really know what to expect to come, but you can't expect that hard times are going to come. Jesus even told his disciples, "In this world you will have troubles, but take heart. I have overcome the world." So hard times come, setbacks come. No telling what is coming around the corner to hit you in the face. And your resolve can only get you so far through those times. Jesus is telling us, like he did his disciples, about having troubles in this world. Difficulties are going to come. It's going to be bumpy sometimes. But with me, you're going to get through these trials, these troubles, because I've overcome the world. The plans he has for you, do you know he purposely made them too difficult for you to accomplish? For you to accomplish alone. If you feel like God has given you something to do, a plan, if you want to call it that, he purposely made it too difficult for you to do. And that sounds crazy, doesn't it? It's a plan that he prepared in advance for you to do, but he prepared it in a way, on purpose, mind you, that it's too hard for you to do it. It's too difficult for you to do it alone. You have to be in partnership with God for this to happen. You have to be in partnership with God. It's impossible to succeed if you don't partner with Him. That's just the way it is. I love the scripture. You probably have it memorized. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, He will give you just enough strength. He wants you to rely on Him. He wants you not to think that you can do it on your own, because you can't, right? That's the truth. You can't. I think it might be good for us sometimes if we do try to set out as Lone Ranger, trying to do it on our own, that we fall on our face and realize, I think God can help us to realize in those times that we have to rely on Him. We have to rely on Him. Have you seen maybe like in a children's church class or something like that, or a Sunday school children's class? It's a poster. It's got a picture of a frog on it jumping from one lily pad to the other. And it has frog, F-R-O-G. And you know what that stands for, right? You've seen that on there? What? Oh, somebody knows it. Fully rely on God. And that's what He wants us to realize here, that we can't do it on our own. We have to fully rely on God to be able to accomplish the works that He's prepared in advance for us to do. We can't do it on our own. Proverbs 16:3 says, "Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed." Now, even when you do in faith, you partner with God, you start out on this faith journey with Him to live out the plans that He's prepared in advance for you to do, there will be hardships. There will be opposition. You remember about Nehemiah. He felt God had called him. God called him to go back and rebuild the walls that had been destroyed, the walls of Jerusalem. And he had a lot of opposition, didn't he? A lot of things that came against him, even from his own people. But he didn't let that stop him. He pressed through it. He continued on no matter what came against him. And that perseverance is encouraging to us to see, and it helps us. And when you and when I seek to follow the plans of God, opposition is going to come as well. On that journey of faith with you and God in partnership, remember we said it has to be a partnership, there's no promises of easy sailing. There will be hard times and, yes, even failures. Even failures. What? Failures? I thought you said if you partner with God, you'll have success. Well, part of partnering with God involves commitment. And commitment involves a continuing on together with God. Continuing on together. And if I had a title for this message, I think it would be To Be Continued. Now, we normally see that at the end when we're writing a good show, and we're saying, man, it's getting close to time for it to be over. How are they going to solve the mystery? Right? And then here comes the words, To Be Continued. And okay, you have to wait till next week. But in our walk with God, it's intended to be continued. It's not just a one-time experience, a one-time commitment that you make to God, or a one-time prayer that you say to God, but it's intended to be continued. And that's what the partnership is, a continued partnership, continuing on with God. And that's the only way that we'll be successful. Not just a one-time thing, but a continuing on is the key. Don't you think that's part of the beauty of the journey with Him, is going through the hard times together, continuing on, even when the hard times come, pressing through, continuing on, relying on God to bring you through it. A pastor at Oakmont when I moved over to Shreveport, Brother Billy Franks, he's passed on now, but some of you may remember him. Remember him saying people would come to him from the church and they say, I'm going through this and I'm going through this. He said they'd come and they'd cry to me about it. And he said, well, praise the Lord, brother. At least you're going through it, right? You're going through it. So that means there's a other side to it. You're going through it. And that's the beauty of the journey with Christ as we continue on, that we're going through it with Him. We're relying on Him. He's bringing us through it. And we can praise the Lord in that. Pressing on, not giving up, but hanging on to Jesus, learning to trust Him and to rely on Him, and not deserting Jesus. Not deserting Jesus. Now, Jesus, when He was walking on the earth in flesh and blood, He had some disciples, didn't He? He called some men, and they dropped what they were doing, and they followed Him. For 3 years, they journeyed alongside Him. They walked with Him from place to place. They saw miracles. They witnessed incredible things. Have you ever imagined what it would be like to do that? To be like the disciples were and be able to, in the flesh and blood, be able to walk with Jesus and fellowship with Him like that? But did you know they failed Him? You probably did. You've read Scripture, huh? They failed Him. They started off good. Things were going good, but they failed Him. I'm going to look at just three verses in Mark chapter 14, and they're not all together. I'm going to skip around a little bit. But Mark chapter 14, the scene is the gathering of Jesus and His disciples that He had arranged just before His arrest and His crucifixion, where they would share the special time together in the upper room. Remember this? They shared a Passover meal together. They were in the upper room, what we call the Last Supper. And Mark chapter 14, Jesus had just announced to His disciples that one of them would betray Him. And He'd broken the bread and blessed it and given it to them. And then in verse 23, it says, "And when He had taken a cup and given thanks, He gave it to them, and they all drank from it." Now, let's not miss that last part. They all drank from it. What's the significance of this? This is the fellowship that they had. The fellowship that they enjoyed. They were all together. They all drank from it. Now, let's skip down to verse 31. Jesus has again begun to speak of denial and falling away. And Peter speaks up emphatically, right? He said, "Even if everyone falls away, I'll never fall away." To which Jesus gives the now famous statement about the fact that Peter would indeed deny Him three times before the rooster crows. In verse 31, "But Peter insisted emphatically, 'Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you.' And all the others said the same." Did you ever catch that part? "And all the others said the same." Well, you remember Peter, you know, I'll never disown you. "And all the others said the same." So first they all drank from the cup. Then they were all enjoying fellowship with one another. Then they all vowed to never disown Him. "Even if I have to die," Peter said, "I'm going to stick with you. I'll never disown you." And they all said the same. Now, do you think they were sincere about that? I think they were. "We're going to stick with you, Jesus." They had no reason to believe that they wouldn't. They had traveled with Jesus. They'd been with Him. Everything had been going good. They were in this relationship with Him, just as we're in a relationship with Jesus in our walk with Him that we've started off on. This was a sincere expression of loyalty to Him, their leader. They were strongly asserting constancy. You know, they were going to not leave. They were going to be there, of sticking with Him. It probably seemed impossible to them that they could fail Him from the way they talked. But Jesus was telling them, "You will fail me. You will fall away." And they were saying, "No, we won't." In hindsight, we can see that the disciples maybe had an ignorance of their personal weakness. They had surprising self-confidence, didn't they? It reminds me of a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. "If you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall." And it, maybe that's the way the disciples were there. They were confident. They thought they stood firm with Jesus. And Jesus was saying, all right, we'll see. We'll see what's going to happen. If you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. And I think this is a good word of caution for us, just to be sober about that. And be diligent in continuing on and know that you're susceptible. You're susceptible to failing and falling if you don't stick with Jesus. And that's really where the failure was, wasn't it? The failure wasn't in some act that they failed in, but the failure was just in the leaving Jesus and disconnecting themselves from Jesus. That's where the failure was. Verse 50, let's skip down to that. After Jesus was arrested in the garden, verse 50 says, and they all left him and fled. Or the NIV says, then everyone deserted him and fled. So verse 23, they all drank of the cup. Verse 31, we'll never abandon you, Jesus. And verse 50, they all left him. We can imagine probably the times when the disciples were with Jesus, walking and talking with him, learning from him. Even hearing his words come from his very mouth. We read in John 16, I said it already, in this world you will have troubles. But take heart, I've overcome the world. So they knew troubles would be coming. They knew that if they stuck with Jesus, everything would be okay. And what we read in Luke chapter 10 that Jesus said to them, he said, I give unto you power. So they knew they had power through Jesus, but their failure was in deserting Jesus. And there went their power, right? They failed. And the same with us. The big failure would be in us leaving Jesus, deserting him. That you left Jesus and you tried to do it on your own. Continue on with him. It's good that we can read later in John 21 how Jesus reinstates Peter. And I watched the video when Brother Carvin spoke a couple weeks ago. He gave a message about Peter being restored by Jesus. It's a beautiful story. And that's the way it can happen with us too. When hard times come, maybe we abandon Jesus. Maybe we desert Jesus. And that's the thing that we shouldn't do. The last thing we should do is leave Jesus when the hard times come. That's when we need him the most. Stick with Jesus when the hard times come. When you're trying to fulfill the purpose that God prepared in advance for you. And then the opposition comes, the hard times come. You just want to give up and throw in the towel. That's not what to do. Stick with him and continue with him. There's scripture after scripture showing us the importance of continuing on. Continuing on with Christ. Continuing in the faith, abiding with Christ. The emphasis is on continuing, not just a one-time thing, but continuing is the key. So you don't have to turn to these, but I'm just going to quickly read a few of them. I have them written down, so I don't even have to take the time to flip through to read it. But you can write down this reference, and you can check me later, because you should always do that, right? Don't just trust that I'm telling you what the word is. 2 Timothy 3:14, continue in what you have learned and found to be true. James 1:25, continue in God's law, and you will be blessed in what you do. 1 John 2:28, continue in him so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. And then I guess probably my favorite and the one I'm focusing on, the one that was the key verse on the screen here earlier, is in Colossians. And first he says in chapter 1, verse 23, Paul says, continue in the faith. But then in chapter 2, I love this one, Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Isn't that a good word? It's an encouragement to us to continue on. Continue on. You started out, you received him, Paul says. You started out on this journey with him. And Paul says, just as you started out, continue. Continue to live in him. Now, it sounds simple, doesn't it? It sounds simple, but can I get a witness? That it's not always easy, it's not always simple to continue something that you start. To keep it going. You can probably see what I'm getting at when I talk about the difficulty of continuing and keeping something going after its early beginnings. Now for me, an example of that would be reading a book. Anybody else in that category? I'll see a book that looks interesting. Maybe I've heard people raving about it, how good it is. I'll pick it up with enthusiasm about reading it. And do you know how many books I have finished that I started on? I'll give you a hint. My bookshelf in my office at home probably has more books on it that I haven't finished than ones that I have finished. But that's just, I don't know, that's a fault of mine, I guess. But maybe I'll start off good. Maybe I just lose interest somewhere along the way, or I get distracted by something else, or whatever other reason, I'll abandon it and leave it unfinished. And I don't continue to the end. Now that's just an example for me. Maybe you have something else in your experience that you can relate to about your struggle with continuing to the end. It sounds simple, as Paul put it, that all we have to do is continue with him. But that's where we have a problem, is that we don't continue with him. We fall off somehow. We find other things that we want to continue in. Maybe we even want to start back up again with the old life. Last time I was here, we talked about the old man and the old self and how he tries to rear his ugly head up sometimes. Maybe we get enticed into that old life again, and next thing you know, we've fallen away. We're not continuing on with Christ. That same scripture goes on to say, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him. Strengthened in the faith. I like that part, rooted and built up in him. A tree, for example, it grows not only up, but it grows down also, right? Rooted. It grows into the ground just as much, not just as much, but it grows up and down and also out, right? Like us. we all grow out. Okay, sorry, I shouldn't say that. All right. Yeah, the truth hurts, he says. All right. But a tree, as it's growing out, you've seen it before. You can get a cross section of a tree, maybe of its trunk or even a limb, and you see what? The rings in it. And you can see, if you cut a cross section of a trunk of a tree, and you see that small little circle there in the middle, that ring where it was young and it was a sapling, and then the rings go out from that, and there's more go out from that, and there's more. And the rings are showing that basically a picture of its life, its lifetime, from the small little center out over the seasons of its life. And they say you can count the rings and approximate the age of the tree. That's the journey. You can tell a lot about a tree if you know what you're looking for. I was talking to Rebecca's dad, who was a forester for many, many years. It's what he retired doing a year or so ago. And if you know what you're looking for in that, you can tell a lot about the life of that tree, what it went through during its life. Maybe you can see a ring over here, it's got an indentation in it, or maybe over here there's real tight rings together, and over here there's more space between them. But you're never going to see perfectly symmetrical rings all through the trunk of the tree. It has a story to tell through how those rings are, the pressures that came against it. Maybe there was a drought that it went through that summer, and the ring, you can tell it from that. Maybe it had a storm that hit it in this way, and you can see that little indentation in the ring from that. It had struggles from that. had pressures and stresses of life. You can see the story of that tree through the rings if you know how to look at it. Now, I wonder in our life if we could cut ourselves cross-sectional and see the rings of our life. You know, they wouldn't be perfectly symmetrical, would they? You could see, just like in a real tree trunk, you could see how the pressures of life, the hard times that had come, the stresses on your world, how life happened in your journey. But I think it would see a beautiful picture of how God brought you through it as you were relying on Him, as you were trusting in Him, as you were continuing on with Him, how you're partnering with Him. It was a beautiful journey along the way of how God helped see you through. Continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Just as you started, continue. And this last part says, with thankfulness. Remember when you first started out on the journey? Whew, thank you, God, right? You're saying you realized your state, your sinful state, and that brought you to Christ, to the cross of Christ and what He'd done for you on that cross, and you were thankful, right? You received that, and you started off on this faith journey with Him. And I think there's a key there in that thankfulness in this verse. If we, just as we received Him, Paul says, continue to live your life, and then it says with thankfulness. I think if we can keep that close to us and be thankful every day for what Christ did for us, and keep that on the forefront of our mind of where we are without Christ and without what Christ did for us and the sin that's in our life, how He saved us, I think if we keep that thankfulness in mind and on the forefront, that's going to help us to continue on. And that's the key, to continue on. There's a word that kind of goes along with continue, and it's kind of an old-fashioned word you don't hear much anymore. It's abide. And you'll find it in John 15 when it talks about the vine and the branches, to abide in Him. And that's another sermon. I won't go into that. But to abide in Him is like remain. That's another translation of that John 15, remain in Me. It's a continuing on. He said, apart from Me, you can do nothing. That's in John 15, verse 5, I think. You can do nothing. So we need to hang on to Christ. We need to stay connected to the vine. We need to abide in Him. We need to continue on with Him because that's where our life is. You know, and the noun form of abide is abode, right? And what is an abode? It's a place that you live. It's a habitation. It's a dwelling place. And if you abide in Jesus, that means Jesus is your abode. You live in Him. You have life in Him. And apart from Him, you don't. You don't. So let's continue on. I can't continue on with this sermon because I'm going to go too long. I have more to say, but I think that God has helped us to get the point here through this scripture in Colossians. There's some other scriptures that talk about falling away, and it's some good sober reminders for us. One of them is what we read already about the disciples falling away. Jesus predicted it, and they did. Another one is in the parable of the soils, where Jesus is explaining that. Remember the one about the rocky soils? I'll read that one. I think I have time to read that one. In Matthew 13, 20, 21, maybe you can look it up later and dig into it a little bit more. But it says, this is the man who receives or who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. So that's the beginnings, right? Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, he immediately falls away. Falls away. That's the same word, phrase, falls away, as was used when Peter and the disciples fell away. And it's the same Greek word that's used in other places where it says in the latter times, many will fall away. Falling away, we can see it in Scripture, and it's a reminder to us to be stay connected to Jesus and continue on. So to wrap it up, why do we fall away? I just wrote down a few, and I'm just going to read them. Some things that just came to my mind in prayer when I was reading, preparing for this. We grow weary. This is a big one, isn't it? We get tired of the battle, tired of fighting, because it is a constant battle, isn't it? We're in a fight. We get weary in it. We want rest from it. We just say, it's too hard. I want an easy life. I want a carefree life. I'm just going to give up on this. And we fall away. We cease to continue on. We desire something different. Like when I'm reading the book, I say, I get distracted. I find other interests. We find something different that we desire in life. And the next thing we know, we notice we've fallen away from continuing in Christ. Maybe even we desire our old way of life. That's a trick of the devil. Maybe we get tripped up in temptation. We get enticed in sin. We get ensnared in it, entangled. Remember the scripture about getting entangled? Those sins that so easily entangle us? Maybe we get tripped up in that and we fall away because of that. Maybe we just get lazy. Another one, we stop believing or we lose faith because we don't see the benefit of continuing. That's another lie and a trick, a trap that the devil has for us. We think, what's the use of trying any longer because I just keep failing over and over? Satan will use that one a lot. We lose heart. We're discouraged by setbacks or by trials. We cease to believe that God is for us. And then we fall away because of persecution or opposition. So that might be some reasons why we fall away. But this life with Christ is meant to be continued. To be continued. We need to continue on in the faith. We need to, like Hebrews chapter 6 says, encourage one another day after day. Hold fast until the end. We need to not become weary in doing good, as Galatians 6:9 says. For at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. That's the last part of that scripture. Keep fighting the good fight, like Paul says. Abide in Him, trust in Him, rely on Him, find strength in Him. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Run with perseverance. I'm your cheerleader here this morning, right? Remember I said earlier I was negative? I was negative on that. I'm saying He can see you through. You can be successful, but not by yourself. You will fail. I will fail. But when we're partnered with Him, He will never fail. He will never fail. If we're with Him, we will not fail. We will not fail. Me equals failure. Me plus Him equals success. That's a pretty simple formula, but there's some truth in it, isn't it? Continue on to the end. Persevere to the end. Hebrews 3 says, read this. Hebrews 3, verse 12 says, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day. And that's what we're going to do here today, right? Encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, for we have become partakers of Christ. Just like the disciples in the upper room, they all shared in it. They've shared in that fellowship. We have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. Firm until the end. So I'm going to be your cheerleader today to encourage you, like it says, day after day, to stay firm until the end. I have good news for you to close. As I've said, in hard times, we might have the possibility of failing Jesus, failing God or deserting Him, but He will never fail us. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So here the emphasis is on He. Earlier I put the emphasis on you failing. But He will never fail. As long as we're with Him, we won't either. We have to be conscious to always come back to Him. If we find ourselves falling away, just like Peter did, he was restored by Jesus. When we come back and we stick with Him, we're going to be victorious because we are with the victor. We will be overcomers because we're with the one who's overcome the world. We will be strong because we're with the God Almighty. We will be saved because we are continuing on with the Savior. And we will have life because we are with the Creator God, the giver of life, our blessed Redeemer, Jesus Christ. I think you got the point, right? We got to be with Him and continue on with Him. So let's stand, and I'm going to read this last verse in closing, and I believe the musicians are going to come, and we'll continue in worshiping Him. So like I said, I'm cheering you on here to press on, to hold on to Jesus, to continue on with Him, to keep the faith. In Colossians 2:6-7, just as you received Christ, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. So let's be each other's cheerleaders, all right? And encourage one another day after day to hold fast and continue on. Let's pray. Dear God, we're thankful for Your Word to us. God, we know that struggles are coming, and they've come, and we've gone through them before with Your help. We can get through so much on our own, but some things we can't. And God, when it comes to walking with You and living this life that You have set out before us, we have to rely on You. God, we're thankful that You promised to be there with us. You're the victor. You're the Savior. You're the one who will not fail. God, help us to hold on. Help us to press on. Help us to continue on with You and hold on to the promises of eternal life that You have for us in Jesus Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen.
Let's join together in the willing heart. Start creating me.
Thank you for coming today. Before we go, I'd just ask if you're near somebody, if you could just hold hands while we pray today. If you're worried about COVID, there's Germex in the back, so we're good. Dear Lord, I thank you for each and every one that's here today and online as well. Thank you for their families, Lord, and I just ask you to go with them this week as they come in contact with people and help them be the light of the world, Lord. We love you. We thank you for your hope. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for your grace. Amen.